We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken, and on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing the HBO original series, Barry. Now, if you have not seen this show and you want to watch it, and I really recommend you all watching this because it's a great show, but if you have not seen this show and you want to, this will contain spoilers for the show. So pause the episode, go watch the show, and then come back and listen to the episode. But if you don't care about spoilers, or if you've seen the show already and want to hear my thoughts, then by all means, please continue. So, Barry. Well, I guess I'll start off by when I first got into the show, and then I'll go into what the show's about. So, I got into the show last year. So, you know, it's only been a year since I've, you know, been aware of it. But I had been hearing good things about the show. And I was like, oh, this... Well, actually, I take that back. I had heard of it, I want to say in like 2021 or 2020. But I didn't really consider watching it until 2022 when I was reminded of its existence again. Because the first time I heard about it was in a CinemaSins video where they were talking about... I forgot which video of theirs it was, but it was... I think it was one of their... when they started doing the TV sins. And at the end of the one of the videos, the host, Jeremy Johns, was talking about how they had a Barry podcast. And he was talking about, oh, it's a badass show. And, you know, he was talking about the characters and all that. And he's like, oh, yeah, if you want to check out the podcast and the show, you know, come over to Starting Now, a Barry podcast. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. But then it was in 2022 when, you know, around the time that the third season was airing, that I was like, oh, yeah, this show. And because I was just scrolling through HBO Max trying to, you know, find something to watch. And, you know, since I had heard good things about that show, I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a watch. And also I, one of the podcasts that I listen to regularly, Double Toasted, who I've mentioned on this podcast before, but they mentioned that that they had a review where they were talking about season 3 of Barry, or at least the first 6 episodes, and they were talking about how they loved it and it was great. And I was like, yeah, I should probably give it a watch because I've been hearing nothing but good things about it. And you know, I binged the, I guess it was after, like, right around the time season 3 ended, so it was like early June, or like maybe a few days after the finale. So, you know, I binged seasons 1 and 2, and then I binged season 3, and then I got my dad hooked on it, and after I watched it, I got him to watch it with me, and we watched the final season that just, you know, aired this year. We watched that, well, not live, but we watched it in real time. Like, you know, we waited week to week, and that was such a cool experience to have, you know, because, you know, having binged the first 3, you know, it was just nice to be able to watch the last season of the show, you know, weekly, along with everyone else who's a fan of the show. But yeah, so you're probably wondering what the show's about, and honestly, obviously, with as simple of a title as Barry, it doesn't really give anything away, or doesn't really clue you in as to what the show's about. Not saying that it's a bad title, it's just, it's very broad, you know, because it's like, Barry could be about anyone, you know, it could be about, it's like, who is Barry, you know, but yeah, not a bad title by any means, just kind of a broad title, you know, but, Barry, oh yeah, it premiered on, HBO on March 25th, 2018, and it just ended this past Sunday, May 28th, so, you know, it was on for a little over 5 years. It ran for 4 seasons and ran for a total of 32 episodes. And the show is basically about a hitman from the Midwest named Barry Berkman who gets hired to take someone out in L.A. So him and his mentor slash uncle figure, Fuchs, who served with his father in the war in Vietnam. They basically go to LA and they meet up with the people who hired them. They're the Chechen mafia or the Chechen mob. And the leader, his wife is basically sleeping with the guy they want Barry to kill. So they're like, yeah, you kill him and we'll pay you. But unfortunately for Barry, he stumbles upon the guy, Ryan Madison, and he's going to an acting class. Ryan's an amateur actor. And Barry, you know, meets him and walks in to this acting class taught by Gene Cousineau. And he, you know, he almost immediately falls in love with the acting class because it's just something new and different. And he thinks that he can really make something of himself. And he also, not only does he, you know, fall in love with the acting class, or at least maybe not falls in love with it, but he at least becomes intrigued and fascinated by it. But not only does he become intrigued by the acting class and by Gene, the acting teacher, but he also becomes intrigued by one of the students, Sally Reed, who he later on, throughout this, the first season, he enters into a relationship with. And so, you know, Barry is conflicted because now he's like, he tries to go back to his mentor Fuchs or his uncle Fuchs, you know, and he basically tells him, he's like, look, I don't want to be a hitman anymore. I want to be an actor. So, you know, I'm done starting now. But unfortunately for Barry, it's not as simple as it seems. It's not quite that easy to just, you know, not, you know, get out from within the criminal underworld because, you know, once you're in the game, you're in. And Fuchs tries telling him that, but Barry is, you know, he's a persistent guy. You know, he's not one to maybe always listen to reason. But that's the show. And of course, you know, I mentioned all the, oh, and one of the, that's all the main characters. Yeah, Barry, Sally, Fuchs, Gene. And then the other big, one of the other main characters, like to round out kind of the main cast, is Hank, who's like the second in command in the Chechen mob, in the Chechen gang. He's the right hand man to Goran, who's the actual leader of the LA Chechen mafia, you know. And Hank is one of the best characters in the show. All the characters are great in their own ways, but Hank in particular is fantastic. And it's just great to see what happens with his character. And he's so funny because, like, you'd expect someone who was, you know, a member of the Chechen mafia to be, like, kind of cold and cynical. Or, I mean, not just the Chechen mafia, but any mafia or criminal organization. You'd kind of expect them to be, you know, a little more serious and cold and cynical. But Hank is so chipper and upbeat, and it's just hilarious to see, like, someone so damn happy be a part of this criminal organization. And what's even more funny is that his dynamic with Barry is great, too, because he loves Barry. He just considers Barry, like, his best friend, and Barry almost all the time wants nothing to do with him. But Hank is always just coming up to him like, hey, buddy, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? Did you kill the target for us, buddy? You know, it's fantastic. I all the, not just Barry and Hank, but all of the character dynamics in the show are great. And like Barry and Gene, you know, they have a very interesting dynamic because Barry, in a way, sees his father, and I guess kind of Fuchs, in Gene. Like, he sees a potential surrogate father and a father figure within Gene because, you know, eventually he kind of works his way up in the acting class and becomes a better actor. And Gene, you know, starts to see this in the first season. And he's like, oh, yeah, this kid's actually not that bad. And Gene's kind of, well, really, I was going to say, what I like about the show a lot is the fact that, you know, I like all the characters, but none of them are good people. They're not good by any, I mean, even the, even Gene and Sally, who are not part of the criminal underworld at all, aren't really the best of people. But yet I still find myself sympathizing with them and liking them enough to where, you know, I'm like, okay, I may not agree with what you're doing right now, or you may be kind of being a prick or an asshole at the moment, but, you know, I get where you're coming from, and you're still written sympathetically enough, and you're still written interestingly enough, and, you know, I'm curious to see what happens with you going forward. And especially Barry, because he is deranged. He is insane. He clearly has PTSD from the war, because he was a U.S. Marine who was stationed in Afghanistan. And, you know, we find out that he really was good at killing. Like, that was one thing that he was, you know, great at, apparently, when he was in the war. And then when he, when he left the Marines, when he came back home, surrogate uncle, you know, his uncle figure, Fuchs, was waiting for him. And, you know, then he's kind of realized, he's like, oh, well, Barry's good at killing, and I have some war experience, so maybe I can get this set up to where we can, just kill people for a living. And and it's interesting, you know, the Barry and Fuchs dynamic. And but yeah, Barry is such a interesting character, because throughout the entire show, he convinces himself that he can change. And you do, in a way, see him change, and sometimes for the better. But every now and then, there's something that happens to him or around him that, or you know, within his life, you know, or whatever's going on, you know, with whether it be with Fuchs or Hank or the acting class, it seems like he's changing for the better, but then something happens that just sets him off, and he falls even further into, serial killer psychic state, you know, or not psychic, psychotic state. And he gets worse over the seasons. Like, he, you know, there's not really that much of anything, any redeeming qualities about him, other than the fact that when you just kind of, you know, when you understand his situation, and, you know, the more you see of him, you do kind of sympathize with him, though, because you realize, oh, well, this guy is insane. You know, he has just been so traumatized by the war, and obviously his uncle figure isn't the best, you know, uncle figure at all. You know, Fuchs is obviously not a good role model for Barry. He's kind of manipulative. He's manipulative a lot of times to him. He kind of, not blackmails him, but he does kind of somewhat blackmail him sometimes into, and somewhat forces him into some of the situations, and, you know, tries to convince him that, oh yeah, all you are is a hitman. That's all you are. That's all you can ever be. And, you know, it's crazy to see that, just how, you know, it's sad and crazy to see the depths of despair that Barry goes through throughout the show. And in a way, how he deludes himself into believing that he can change. Like, he fools himself into thinking that he can become a better person. And he thinks that because, you know, he has such an interesting kind of father figure in Gene, you know, the time he spends with Gene, in the first two seasons, you know, he feels like, oh yeah, Gene taught me how to be a better person. He taught me how to be a human being. You know, he helped me get over my trauma from the war. And it's cool because Barry, it's kind of neat too, because Barry doesn't actually end up telling Gene and the class his whole story, obviously, because, you know, then his cover would be blown. But he does kind of tell them what he tells them a story that kind of traumatized him, you know, one of his war stories from when he was stationed in Afghanistan. But what happens is that, like, he doesn't end up telling the full story. He doesn't tell the truth, really. Like, he claims in his story to everyone, he claims that he killed a man and he felt sad about it. But the truth is, he actually enjoyed killing the guy. And, like, it was a guy, like, way out in the distance, and he just shot him just because he had an eye on him. You know, he had a sniper. He's like, yeah, I'll just take him out. And all his friends, you know, there were around him were, like, cheering him on. And it was crazy to see that, like, even back then, Barry was, you know, kind of starting to show signs of, you know, his psychotic nature, you know. But way, you know, before he was even a regular hitman, before he was regularly killing people for a living, you know, or professionally, you know. And, but yeah, so all the characters are great, though. Like, and all the dynamics with them are great. And Sally, yeah, and Gene's great, because he just has so much, you know. It's funny, because when we first see Gene, he is this, he's, you know, he seems like a normal guy. He's an acting teacher, but the more we kind of learn about him, the more we start to realize that, oh, he's only doing this because he's burned most of his bridges in Hollywood. He's kind of tarnished his career because, you know, he was known to kind of be an asshole, on film and TV sets, you know, back in the day, and he was generally just an unpleasant guy to work with. So most of the people in Hollywood don't really want anything to do with him. So you find out that, oh, he's kind of just stuck doing this acting class. If he had any other claim to fame, he would take it. But because he doesn't, he's just, you know, unfortunately for him, having to teach a bunch of amateur actors for a living. And he makes it clear that, that you have to pay to get in the class. Like, he tells Barry right off the bat, after Barry, gives him a monologue about being a killer, which is funny because at first you think, Barry, what are you doing? You just gave away your whole mission, you know, what you're here to do, you know, you blew your cover. But then Gene, after Barry gives the monologue, Gene's like, oh, wow, was that from a movie or something? Did you improvise that? So it's like Gene just assumed that Barry came up with that on his own. And that's what convinces him that, okay, this Barry kid might be a good actor. and then he tells him, he's like, yeah, my class ain't cheap, but tomorrow be here and prepare a scene, you know. And yeah, so, but Gene's a great character. Sally's great. And because, you know, she seems kind of normal at first too, or she seems kind of average, you know, I mean, in a good way. But then we sort of see that she also has a desire to be famous. And she kind of lets the fame get to her head the more the series goes on. Like, the more fame that she gets, the more she kind of lets it go to her head and, you know, treats the people that she once kind of saw as equals, or at least they saw her as her equal, you know, she kind of looks down upon them. You know, especially one of her friends from the acting class, Natalie, who, when Sally gets her own show in season 3, Natalie's like her executive assistant, you know, and Sally's just like dismissing most of her comments to her, and like, it's like, oh yeah, you could, yeah, Natalie, why are you standing there when you could be making me my latte, and you know, just dismissive shit like that. And, you know, again, Sally's not a great person, neither is Gene, but they're probably, in comparison to Fuchs, Barry, Hank, and all the other, like, recurring side characters that, like, you know, are within, like, the criminal underworld that we see, you know, they're definitely better, and probably better adjusted than, you know, than Fuchs, Barry, and Hank. But yeah, the characters are great, and the acting is great from everyone, too. Bill Hader does a great job as Barry. I mean, you've got Sarah Goldberg is fantastic as Sally Reed, who I haven't seen her in anything else, but, you know, I'm sure she, if she has been in anything else, I'm sure she nailed that, whatever role she's been in. Okay, yeah, so I'm looking on her IMDb and Wikipedia page. It says she's best known for her role as Sally Reed in Barry. So, but she has been in some movies and TV. Okay, but yeah, she's best known for that, for her role as Sally. So yeah, like that's her most well-known role. But yeah, she was great as Sally. You got Anthony Carrigan as Hank. He kills it. Just again with him kind of being the comic or the comedic relief of the show, he's fantastic. And he actually gets some character development and you know, has some depth to him as the show progresses. And what's kind of neat, and he's been in some he played Victor Zsasz, or Szasz, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, in Gotham, in the Fox series Gotham. And he was also Dennis Caleb McCoy, the robot that was tasked with killing Bill and Ted in Bill and Ted 3. So yeah, he's been, which I've seen that movie, I thought he was great in that little role. And yeah, he was pretty good. And then, but you know, and again, going back to Barry, Bill Hader, who, you know, got kind of started on SNL. He was in that movie Trainwrecked with Amy Schumer, which I haven't seen, but I've heard was good. He had a little role in Tropic Thunder where he was Tom Cruise's character's assistant. And he had that pompous, like, accent, pompous voice to him, like, "Oh, you mean that's very well done, sir. Thank you, sir." You know, like that. Almost kind of a British accent he was putting on in a way. And, you know, he was Flint Lockwood in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. He was the voice of Fear in Inside Out. And I'm sure he's been in a bunch of other stuff. But, oh, and he was in It Chapter 2. He played the adult version of, was it Stanley? It was one of the kids, yeah. And he was great in that. But, yeah, he's a great actor. And then to round off the cast, you've got Henry Winkler. You know, the guy's been acting for... He's been around for 77 years. The guy's been acting for, like, ever since, you know, like, 1974. Yeah, he's been since the mid-70s. But, you know, he was the principal in Scream. He was, what else has he been in? He was in, oh, yeah, he had a little cameo in Black Adam. He was Dr. Saperstein, the father to Jean-Ralph Yeo and Mona Lisa Saperstein in Parks and Rec. Oh, he was he played a character named Barry. Yeah, he was the family lawyer in Arrested Development, Barry Zuckerkorn. Which is kind of funny that he played a character named Barry in Arrested Development, and he would later go on to star in a show simply called Barry. But you know, most people know him as, you know, his biggest role was, you know, he burst into stardom when he played the Fonz, Arthur Fonzarelli, on you know, Happy Days, the ABC sitcom. Which I didn't realize, yeah, ran 10 years. It's pretty impressive. And then, yeah, last but not least, you have Monroe Fuchs, who's, yeah, he's played by Stephen Root. Again, legendary actor. And he's about as old as Henry Winkler, which I was surprised looking at, you know, IMDb, his IMDb page. I didn't realize he was 71 because, you know, looking at him, he doesn't really look like he's in his early 70s. He looks like he's in, like, his maybe late 50s, if that, but... I mean, he looks great for his age, though. Not to say Henry Winkler doesn't, but, you know, it's just... they both look good for their age, but it's just like, I didn't expect Stephen Root to be that old. But yeah, he's voiced a bunch of characters in animated shows. He was Mayor Toadstool in Amphibia. He was Bud Gleeful in Gravity Falls. He was Buck... he was Buck Strickland and Bill in King of the Hill. And he's also been in No Country for Old Men. He was in Get Out. He played the blind art critic in Get Out. And apparently he's also in Succession, which I'm watching that show now, and I haven't gotten to that yet. But having read that, I'm like, I'm anticipating that because, you know, like I said, like I love Stephen Root from what everything I've seen him in. And I'm curious as to what character he plays on that show. But yeah, so the cast is stacked. The cast is fantastic. And they all play their parts perfectly, and all the characters are great. Again, even when they're not, even when, you know, you acknowledge that they're not the best of people, but the characters themselves are great in the fact that they're fleshed out, well-rounded characters that, you know, go through, you know, so, like, go through the, you know, they're put through the ringer, they're given so much depth and you know, they're fleshed out so well. And yeah, it's just great to see. And what I like about the show, besides everything that I mentioned already, is the fact that the show is, it feels like it's building to something. Like, you know, throughout each episode and throughout each season, it does kind of feel like that we're eventually going to get to the ending of this show. Like, it's going somewhere, it's going towards a conclusion. You know, it's not going to keep going on forever. And honestly, they could have, with this premise, you know, they could have kept it going forever. You know, it could have simply been just a hitman, you know, Barry, trying to juggle his criminal life with his acting life, you know, and try to balance those two halves of himself, you know, the murderous psychotic hitman and the down to earth, you know, awkward actor, you know. But no, they change it up so often throughout the show. And in fact, by the time we get to season three, a bunch has changed. Like, Gene shuts down the acting class, and we hardly even see the other students in the acting class. Like we see Natalie a little bit, and we see like one or two of them every now and then, but it's mostly like for like one or two scenes. You know, it's not like the first two seasons where we saw this whole group of acting students on a regular basis. You know, it's but each season they always find a way to do something similar to what they did the previous season, but not feel like they're treading water. You know, doesn't feel like they're repeating the same story that they told in the the same plot points that they, you know, showcased in the previous seasons. And I like that. It keeps building with each season, and each episode, keeps like escalating, you know, the tension in the story, and each season keeps escalating the tension in story. And like, especially when I was watching season three, I mean, when I was watching the first two seasons as well, but especially when I was watching season three, I kept thinking, man, how is this season going to end? And then, season four happened, and I kept saying the same thing. And I just love every episode because, well, and the cool thing about it too, is that there's, like I said, there's four seasons and there's only 32 episodes, meaning that, you know, each season is divided into eight episodes. So there's only eight episodes per season, and each episode is only about half an hour. You know, I think the shortest episode is like maybe 25 minutes, but the episodes are like between 25 minutes and 30 minutes. And I think the finale was like 35 minutes, but yeah, still. So instead of like, you know, the show is a crime drama, but it's also a comedy. And usually with any show that's a drama or has an element of drama in its genre, you know, usually they're, are an hour at least, but the fact that Barry, their episodes are only half an hour is, you know, is cool. You know, it's unique. It's not something you see often with a show that is kind of a crime drama and a comedy at the same time. And they balance the comedy and the drama really well. I mean, that, you know, Bill Hader co-created the show along with Alec Berg, and, you know, Bill Hader, like I said, started on SNL, so, or I believe he started on SNL, but he was on SNL for a while. Like, I think that's where he got his fame, you know, like, that's where he kind of rose to become the household name he is now, you know. And so, you know, obviously Bill would know a thing or two about comedy. And they say that comedians are often the best dramatic actors. And Barry has a lot of, or Bill has a lot of scenes in the show, you know, when he's playing Barry, where, you know, he does get crazy dramatic. I mean, not like, you know, sappy. It's not sappy, or it's not like overly dramatic, you know, or melodramatic, but like there are scenes where he gets like very intense, very filled with rage, there's scenes where he breaks down crying, and then there's scenes, you know, like where he's, you know, tells a joke, you know, he's just like kind of chilling out, just hanging out. And, you know, the show can, and I love that about the show, because like it can have you in like gripping the arms of your chair, you know, just in not in shock, but so tense. Like, you're so tense and just waiting to see how a scene plays out. And you're like, oh, shit, like, this is, you know, and just have you on the edge of your seat. And then it can have you like that for 1 minute, and then the next minute you'll be laughing your ass off. And it never feels forced. You know, the comedy doesn't feel forced. The drama doesn't feel forced. It's a good balance of both, with some episodes and some seasons being more comedic or more dramatic than others. But still, like, that's commendable, that the fact that the show blends the two genres so well that it doesn't feel unnatural or forced. I you know, you gotta applaud that. Because that's not quite as easy of a task or as easy of a feat. Or yeah, that's not quite as easy of a task as someone might think it would be. But yeah, the every episode, though, like, this is a good show to binge if you're looking for something to binge, because, like I said, 4 seasons of 32 episodes, half an hour each, you know, like, you should be, if you really were dedicated enough, you had a whole weekend, you could binge this in, like, probably a day. Probably a day, or less than a day, you know, somewhere around there. And you definitely should, you know, because, I mean, and you'll kind of want to after the very first episode, because first episode ends on a great kind of cliffhanger, making you want to go back or making you want to continue. But each episode ends on, almost every episode ends on some whammy line or some huge, crazy cliffhanger. And then it just cuts to the credits, and it leaves you wanting more every time. Especially this last season, because the final season is crazy with how it wraps everything up so perfectly. And I'll get into the finale in a minute, and some more about the show. But yeah, it's every episode this last season, I was even more on the edge of my seat and even more like, oh man, they ended it like that, you know. Not like disappointed because it was a bad ending, but just if I was disappointed, it was because I had to wait a whole week to see what happens next. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that, like, that's how good it was. The fact that, like, every episode ended on some big, huge line, you know, or discovery or cliffhanger. And it keeps you wanting more. Like, every episode is packed to the brim with jokes and drama, and not a moment is wasted. Everything matters that's showcased in the show, or that's shown in the show, is important, and you never, yeah, they never waste a minute of screen time. And they just pack so many jokes and so much story into each episode that it's crazy to think that they're all only half an hour each, you know, like, every episode's only that long. And yeah, it's just, but yeah, every episode, because I wasn't able to binge watch the last season because I watched it weekly, every episode felt even more, every ending felt even more insane, because I was like, oh man, I gotta wait a whole week to see what happens next. And yeah, it was just, it's just cool that, like, the show, like, obviously, I don't know if Bill Hader and Alec Berg had everything planned from the beginning, but the way this whole show ends, it almost makes me feel like they did, because it just ends on such a perfect note, and it ends in a way that I probably never could have. I don't think anyone who's watched the show could have predicted the way things went down in that last episode. It was crazy. But yeah, just a lot happens. Like, Gene ends up finding out at the end of season 2, this is where his and Barry's dynamic changes. Because up until this point, you know, Barry and Gene have kind of been on good terms, and Barry's seen him as a father figure. But at the end of season 1, Barry murders his girlfriend Janice, who just so happens to be a cop working for the LAPD. And she is, and you know, she is about to turn him in, because she connects the dots. Like, Jean ends up telling her, like, because the season one finale, it ends with Jean inviting Janice, Barry, and Sally up to his cabin. And Jean, while they're out barbecuing, or they're eating some barbecue on his porch in the middle of the night, or he's grilling hamburgers or something. Anyway, that's not important. But yeah, they're eating dinner outside, and Jean tells Janice that he's like, oh yeah, the first time I saw this kid perform, he improvised a scene about a soldier who got back from Afghanistan and became a hitman. And you could see the look on Barry's face changing, because he's like, shit, why'd you have to say that, Jean? Now she's going to connect the dots, and now I'm going to have to kill her. And of course, Barry ends up killing her outside in the middle of the night, and, you know, drives the he hides the body in her car out in the middle of the woods. And then the season ends with him climbing back into bed with Sally, like pretending nothing happened. And he says, starting now. And then it cuts to black. And the starting now refers to a line he told Fuchs earlier in the season when he told him he was done. You know, he was done with the hitman lifestyle, the criminal underworld, you know. He's like, I'm done, Fuchs, starting now. And that was such a great line to end on, because Barry was totally fine. Like, everything was fine. His and Jean's relationship would have been fine. His and Sally's relationship would have been fine had Jean not mentioned that story to Janice, because she's a smart cookie. You know, she figures out, it's like, oh yeah, okay, well, I put two and two together and found out you were the guy who killed Ryan or had something to do with Ryan's death. And I think you're working with the Chechens too. So, you know, and, yeah. And then he had to kill her. And then it's like, okay, so you think, you know, he thinks, and again, he's deluding himself into thinking that this is all going to play out fine. Or, you know, it's like, okay, well, starting now, I don't have to kill anyone, you know. But of course, Jean finds out. It's only a matter of time before he finds out, and goes to show how, you know, twisted and toxic his relationship with Fuchs is. Fuchs, you know, kind of feels betrayed by Barry, because Barry wants to leave the hitman lifestyle. So he decides to ruin his father figure relationship with him and Jean by pretending to be a private detective and taking Jean to where Barry hid Janice's body. And then, you know, in the season two finale, Jean finds out that Barry was the one who killed Janice. And then from there on out, their dynamic changes to where, you know, Jean hates his guts and wants nothing to do with him. And Barry is trying to try to fool himself into thinking that he can change for the better and mend their broken relationship. You know, he thinks that, oh, he fools himself into thinking that, oh, if I get Jean back into the pop culture zeitgeist, you know, if I can get him to star in, you know, my girlfriend Sally's show, you know, because Jean's always wanted to make a name for himself, but he's always wanted to come back into the spotlight for years. If I can get him on this new popular show that you're on, or, you know, that she's on, everything will be back to normal. And obviously Barry goes to show, you know, that goes to show how, you know, he just has himself fooled into thinking that this in any way, shape or form could work out, you know. Obviously Jean is angry beyond belief, or not beyond belief, but Jean is very, like, had it with Barry shit. And, but, you know, and then, yeah, and Sally gets her own show in season three, you know, and which, and yeah, and not only, and going real quick to, you know, the acting portion of the show, not only is the show a great comedy and, you know, a great drama as well, and not only are there, you know, is the story great and the cliffhangers and all that, but it also has a lot to say about Hollywood, and they also, you know, take a lot of shots at Hollywood and crack a bunch of jokes at Hollywood's expense, and it's hilarious. Like, when Sally's show in season three gets canceled, she ends up, she's asking the executives for the streaming service that the her show was on, she's like, "Hey, what happened? We had a whole press release screening. We had a whole test screening for this show. The crowd went nuts. Everyone loved it. The reviews were great. What happened?" They're like, "Oh yeah, well, it just doesn't really fit our streaming service right now. You know, it's not really," and they just make a bunch of random noises. They're like, we need it to be, and it's, eh, you know, like that. Like they're saying something, they're saying nothing while trying to feel like they're saying something. Like they're saying nothing. They're saying something while saying nothing, if that makes sense. Or I think I have that reversed. But anyway, you know, like they're just saying random noises. They're not really giving any actual criticism or reasons. They're just saying like, "Oh yeah, well, it's not in the pop culture zeitgeist anymore," or that's old shit. You know, we got a new show out, and you know, and Sally at that point has become self entitled and all that. But and you know, kind of goes even further off the deep rails, especially with when she has that meltdown in the elevator with her friend Natalie. But, you know, in that moment, you do kind of feel bad for her, because it's like, well, damn, she just spent, you know, a couple months probably, at least, you know, not chunk of her life, because 2 months is nothing. But, I mean, you know, she dedicated she put a lot of time into this show that was semi-based on her experience living in Joplin, Missouri, you know, and, you know, she thought it was good, and everyone was saying she was good in it, and that the show itself was good, only for it to just get buried by another show, like, a day or two after its release on the streaming service. It's like, damn, you know? But yeah, and then, you know, and then Hank, and then, of course, you know, and then there's Hank, who enters into a relationship with Cristobal Cifuentes, this Bolivian, member of the Bolivian mafia, or the Bolivian crime syndicate, you know, and it's sweet, it's a sweet relationship, and Cristobal is a hilarious character, he's very funny. Like, there's a scene where they're holed up in this house that Hank bought for the two of them, and I think it's in the first episode of season 3, but he's like, they're talking about Barry. Somehow their conversation leads to Barry, and Cristobal's like, "Hank, you know, your buddy Barry killed all my buddies." And Hank's like, "Well, you know, he killed a lot of my buddies too, okay? It's not a competition, you know." or I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it's something like that, you know. And yeah, it's sweet and it's great. But of course it ends bad, because Cristobal ends up getting killed halfway through the last season. But yeah, it's just... And yeah, okay, and now I guess I'll go on to the last season, because I think I've pretty much said everything I wanted to say up until this point. But yeah, season 3 ends with Barry getting arrested. Gene sets up Barry with the help of Janice's father, Jim Moss, who was used to be in the war. He used to be like a torturer, you know, he used to psychologically torture people for for information. So he ends up working with Janice's father, Jim, to arrest Barry. And I didn't see that coming when I watched that for the first time. I'm like, oh, shit. But, you know, if season 3 was such a huge, and not in a bad way, but if season 3 was such a huge departure and such a huge change for the show, then season 4 definitely was the biggest change, because, you know, we have Barry and Fuchs in prison, you know, and then Sally, a lot happens in such a short amount of time. It's like 8 episodes, half an hour a piece. You wouldn't think that. It's like, how are they possibly going to wrap all this up? And they wrap it up spectacularly, because where everyone ends up, or where everyone starts the last season off, like where they all start the season off at, to where they end up in the finale, is fantastic. Like, I would have never predicted this is how it all shook out, you know? But, you know, we see a lot happens. You know, Barry is in prison. He ends up escaping. Fuchs serves out his prison sentence. He becomes the Raven, which is, it's funny because, like, that's a white lie that Hank told the FBI. Because they were going to use Fuchs as a patsy in case things all went south. And so they asked him they had a picture of Fuchs, and they asked who he was. And Hank said, "Oh, that's Chechenian assassin, the Raven." And they're like, "That's bullshit." And Hank's like, "No, he's a real person, I promise, you know." and then Fuchs finally, he just embraces that side to him. And, you know, Sally is trying to figure out what she wants to do because she still wants to be somewhat involved in acting, but her reputation's tarnished. So she decides to be a teacher. And then when that doesn't really pan out, she decides to be an acting coach for one of the students from her class. And then she decides to run away with Barry. And we get a time skip. They have a son. And, you know, but eventually everyone ends up back in L.A. Fuchs serves out his prison sentence. He meets up with Hank. And all the characters, you know, end up in L.A. They don't all quite meet up. But you know, it's they're all in the same place, so to speak. And it was crazy to see Hank and Sally meet, because they meet at the very end of the seventh episode. And that felt like a Howard and Lalo moment from Better Call Saul, or it felt like a Mike and Kim moment, where it's like these two characters from completely different sides of the track, or completely different worlds in a way, like meet up, and it just feels so surreal because they've been so separate up until this point. But you know, some of the characters end up dying. Fuchs, oddly enough, makes it out. I was surprised that I figured he was going to be one of the ones to die. I thought Barry was going to take him out. But especially because with how often Fuchs flip-flopped this season alone, with from, you know, wanting to save Barry and protect him to screw him, he's dead to me, I'm going to kill his ass. And but yeah, that was great. Because, you know, it just goes to show how sweet, but also kind of how toxic and terrible their relationship is at the same time. But Fuchs ends up, when he finds out that Barry has a son, he ends up, you know, he has a shootout with Hank and his men at Hank's business, like his company, his office. And Fuchs ends up killing Hank, and he dies next to, holding the hand of the Cristobal statue that he put out in front of the main floor of the building, which was a tragic and sweet and sad way to end his character, but I guess bittersweet in a way. But yeah, and then Fuchs ends up reuniting, you know, all their men are pretty much dead, but Fuchs survives. He walks John, Barry's son, out to him. And it's funny because Barry was about to show up to kill everyone because Hank was blackmailing him with, like, he's like, hey, I've got your wife and kid. If you want to see them again, you know, get your ass over here. And Barry stocks up on guns. Like, he gets, like, two, like, automatic rifles. He just has them strapped to his back. He just goes in the store, and this is great. He goes into the store, walks through, we get this long one-shot of Barry walking down the toy aisle of this, like, Walmart where he got the guns, and no one says a word. And I just thought that was hilarious because, you know, kind of, again, commentary with, you know, Hollywood, but also commentary with life in general. I mean, you know, there's commentary about Hollywood in the show, but that felt like commentary on the current political climate of the, you know, where we're at in terms of, like, all the gun violence that's been going on. It's like, yeah, the fact that he was able to walk through a toy aisle in the middle of a store at night with two guns strapped to his back and no one said shit, you know, it was kind of funny because it's like, yeah, it kind of seems like we're at that point where, you know, not that many people seem to give a shit, or if they do give a shit, it's like, well, he's not shooting right now. He's just walking with the guns. This guy seems okay. He seems stable. Like, it's totally appropriate for him to walk through the toy aisle with these guns strapped to his back. But I also thought it was funny too, because the fact that I'm like, okay, maybe in Texas I could see that, or some other state like Texas, or here in Georgia, or Florida, because Florida's batshit insane. I say that liking Florida, you know, going there on vacation, but it is batshit insane. But it can be. But yeah, the fact that it was in California, you'd think California would be one of the places that would be least likely to happen, but, you know, with how more left-leaning they tend to be, but yeah, that kind of added to the joke. But anyway, so I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, Fuchs reunites Barry with his son, and they don't say anything. They just have one final exchange, or what, like, one final glance at each other, a look that seems to say, like, okay, well, you know, I guess this is where we part ways. And it kind of reminded me, like, it was a look of kind of mutual respect and a look of like, well, you know, shit, I was kind of an uncle to you. You were kind of a nephew to me. In a way, you were like a son to me. And, you know, I did this one last thing for you, Barry. And, you know, we're good. Let's call it even. And yeah, it felt like respect, out of respect and love, or former love for the two had for each other and care for each other. You know, it's like, well, yeah, let's part ways. This is a good spot to end it. And it kind of felt like a Breaking Bad moment. It felt like that scene in the finale of Breaking Bad when Walt and Jesse share that one final look to each other before Jesse drives off in the El Camino. It kind of gave me that vibe. But yeah, so Barry is, he goes to Gene's house because, well, he meets, you know, Sally and John. Barry's basically been fooling himself this whole season, or the back half of the season, into thinking that, oh yeah, he's a man of God now, but every time he keeps trying to justify his shitty actions and his murderous, you know, misdeeds, you know, by trying to, you know, it's like, oh yeah, well, this is God's plan, you know, God will forgive me and all that, you know, which is bullshit, you know. He keeps, you know, again, Barry keeps bullshitting himself, but Sally and John end up leaving the hotel they're staying in the middle of the night, and Gene, you know, he goes to Gene's house because Sally mentioned to him that she went to go see him, and Gene had been, there had been this biopic, this Barry biopic that Warner Brothers was trying to make, because they're like, oh yeah, Barry's life's interesting, but Gene, because, again, his need for fame and his inability to change in a way, you know, and his big fat mouth, he ended up, you know, kind of lying and saying that Barry was a sympathetic soul, and basically everything that from the previous 2-3 seasons, all this information comes to light, or all this information is given a whole new light when he tells the, you know, he's tricked into telling them that Barry's a sympathetic soul, and he's made out to be the bad guy, and which is interesting, you know, and everyone, you know, he's reading all these articles online about how, you know, Gene Cousineau shot his son when he found out his house was paid for in Chechen drug money. And it was crazy that, like, Gene's, you know, need for fame, you know, was his downfall. But, you know, he reads this and, you know, Barry's just about to turn himself in. He tells Gene's agent, he's like, okay, call the police, I'm going to turn myself in. And then as soon as he does that, Gene comes out of his room, shoots Barry in the chest, and then shoots him in the head. And I love how quick and simple that was. It was not a long, drawn-out scene filled with dialogue about, you know, Gene saying, you know, I thought you were better than this, Barry, and or Barry trying to explain what he was about to do. I love how quick and simple it was. Just and Barry's last words were hilarious and totally unexpected, but him just getting shot in the chest, looking up and seeing Gene was the one to shoot him, and just going, oh wow, and then getting shot in the head. I was like, that was the perfect way to wrap up his character. And I didn't think Gene was going to be the one to do it. I thought Fuchs or Hank was going to be the one to kill Barry, but the fact that it was Gene, you know, and he had been wanting to kill him for the past 2 seasons, you know, in the season 3 premiere, he's about to shoot him at the theater because he calls Barry there and he's like, hey, how you doing? And he reveals to him, I know you killed Janice, and he's about to shoot him with a gun that Rip Torn gave him. but the gun falls apart and then Barry ends up kidnapping him. But he finally, you know, but again, Gene, if Gene had just, like, Barry was just about to do the right thing, probably for the first time in his life, you know, or do, you know, and you know, stop bullshitting and do the right thing. And then Gene just kills him. But you kind of get why he did it. 'Cause he's like, this guy's been a pain in my ass for the past 8 years. You know, he murdered my girlfriend. He tried to murder me. He was kind of threatening to my son and, you know, he invaded my home, you know, showed up with where my son and grandson were. And, yeah, and he's just, he's irredeemable, you know, so I got to take him out. I'll feel much more at peace when I do. And, that was great, you know, but, you know, and then we get a little bit more of a time skip where we see Sally kind of, has her dream fulfilled. She, it seems like they're in the Midwest, maybe Cleveland where Barry was from, but she's a drama teacher and she seems to have put on a successful play at this, I guess middle school, high school. And, it's either a middle school or high school. I'm not sure which one, but, she seems to be doing well. She gets asked out by the AP, I think, history teacher, or AP bio teacher, but she turns him down, which was kind of cool development on her part because it showed that, you know, her relation, her previous relationships, which were toxic and, you know, unhealthy for her, you know, whether it was Barry, who was a murderer, or her previous boyfriend and husband, who was abusive verbally and physically to her. You know, it, it goes to show that she's moved on and doesn't quite need a relationship to be fulfilled. She just needs her career and son. But, you know, I mean, it goes to show, it's like, well, if she wanted to, she could, but she doesn't, she's in a place where she doesn't really need to be in a relationship right now or want to be, but she could be if she wanted to. But yeah, the final scene is, you know, Sally goes back home and John, who's, you know, a little bit older now, goes to a friend's house to watch the Barry Berkman biopic. And and it's an over-dramatization of the events that didn't go down. Because, like I said, the web of lies that Gene kind of spun and all the evidence, or the kind of web of lies that Gene spun and the evidence that, you know, once he kind of spun the web, they looked at the evidence again and everything kind of painted Gene as the villain and Barry as the tragic hero, you know, and, so the biopic is essentially, you know, paints Barry as this tragic war hero that was a good guy who, you know, had, who was taken advantage of. He was a guy at he was a good veteran who had PTSD and he was forced into this, life of crime by Gene, who was working with the Chechen mafia this whole time. And and again, commentary on Hollywood, the fact that Hollywood takes stories and that they claim to be based on true events. And, you know, not all, they don't always do this, but, you know, they, those movies tend to not really, you know, they tend to fudge the truth more often than not. And not saying that they all do that, but a lot of them have a tendency to do that. And John gets to the end of the movie, it says Gene is now currently serving life in prison, and Barry was buried in I forgot where it said he was buried, but you know he was buried and given the highest honor a veteran could get. And you know John sheds a tear and he smiles, and it was that finale was so great. It was just a great way to end the show, and yeah, I just. I don't know what else to say. It was just, I guess I'll just end the episode by saying I love the show. I definitely recommend you guys checking it out. It's a great watch and it's an easy watch. You know, it's pretty short. You know, you'll breeze through it in no time, or you'll blow through it in no time. And when you get to the end, you'll kind of be left wanting more, but at the same time, you know, when you get to that finale, you'll be like, no, that was a satisfying conclusion. That was a great place to end it. After, you know, because I was already considering Barry to be at least in my top 20, if not top 10 favorite shows of all time. But especially with how they stuck the landing in this last season, like this whole last season and the finale itself, with how well they stuck the landing, Barry is definitely somewhere in the top 20, maybe top 10 of my favorite TV shows of all time. And that finale was, and my dad said it too, he said, we were both in agreement. We were like, that was one of the best series finales to any show we've ever watched. So yeah, it's, again, if you listen to this, made it this far and you haven't seen the show, sorry, I spoiled the shit out of it for you. Obviously I didn't go into everything that happened. especially in the first three seasons, and most of season four. I mean, there was stuff that happened that last season that I didn't even mention, or kind of just lightly mentioned, you know, but I didn't go into depth about it. But, you know, I still recommend watching it just to see all of the madness unfold, to see the hilarious, the funniest shit jokes, the really good drama, the great character development and regression, in a way, of the characters. Because, you know, one of the great things is that the character development, it's like, it's there, but at the same time, like, the characters change, but at the same time, they also regress. And it's their inability to change that is kind of the downfall of pretty much everyone, or at least Hank and Barry and Gene, you know. Fuchs and Sally kind of embrace who they are and end up making it out in the end. Because they're able to, yeah, embrace who they are and get away. But yeah, so, yeah, it's just, it's a fantastic show. And I definitely cannot recommend it anymore if I tried. So go watch it. It's, I was going to say it's on HBO Max, but now they changed their name to, they rebranded themselves as Max about a week ago. So, but it's on Max, or if you want to buy it, it's on iTunes, but it's streaming on Max now. So go check it out. You got nothing to lose, and I promise you, you'll love it. I almost guarantee that you'll end up loving it and end up getting sucked into it like I did and invested and hooked on, you know, to every cliffhanger and want it, you know, just anticipating how it's going to end. And yeah, but it's amazing. Great show. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. I went on a little bit longer than I meant to, but just a little over an hour, so it's not too bad. Definitely not my longest episode that I've recorded. But yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode, and I will join me tomorrow night for my review of the highly anticipated Spider-Verse sequel, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I'm going to go see that tomorrow, and I'm actually going to rewatch Into the Spider-Verse tonight, which I'm excited for because it's been forever since I've seen it. It's been a while since I've seen it, and it'll be nice to have a refresher of what happened in the first one before going to see the second one tomorrow night. So, plus I'm going to stop by Buffalo Wild Wings to get some wings. I'm looking forward to that. So hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. I will see you all tomorrow night for my Across the Spider-Verse review. And until then, take care.